All right, this morning we'll talk briefly about some breaking news, Isaiah sees. And the breaking news, the newsworthy event is joy. Joy. That's why this is a theme at Christmas, joy. Because something has really happened in the real world that has given rise to an eruption of joy. And the question we have as we read this passage is, has it happened to you? Do you have this kind of joy in your life as you come to our service this morning? Let's understand three things about this kind of joy. First of all, joy's explosion. There's kind of a nice, calm joy. And there's a joy that just erupts and explodes. That's what this is talking about here. Break forth into joy. There's a breaking forth into joy because joy has come in a way that is sudden. It's spontaneous. And it's a singing joy. That is to say, it causes an eruption into song. That's the kind of joy Mary had when it was announced to her that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. That the Lord Jesus, God himself, was going to be in her womb. She'd never known a man. She had never had naturally conceived. But there was going to be a supernatural conception in her womb. And afterward, as she thought about it, she broke out into this sudden, spontaneous singing song, one of the most beautiful songs ever written, called the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, if you want to really understand explosive joy, it's when it's sudden, it's spontaneous, and as it were, just erupts out of you into singing. Now, a lot of you have followed sports, have had some degree of joy when your team has done something well. You say, yes, right! Or as somebody who's experienced both lonely World Series here in Minneapolis and has been to some of the World Series games, it's unbelievable the delirium of sports fans in the Metrodome when their team wins a game or wins the final game in the World Series. I mean, people are standing in their cars, they're yelling, they're honking. But there's a special kind of joy that is so explosive that we just want to burst into song. It says, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. Sing together, break forth into joy. The watchmen shall lift up the voice, and the voice together shall they sing. That's why it's so appropriate to sing, as we will sing a verse or two next door, of joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. So the breaking news, joy's explosion. Do you ever have that kind of joy in your life? So many people walking with their daubers down and kind of sad. Everything looks gloomy and bad. Well, here is something that is breaking news. Joy's explosion. Then secondly, we've got joy's explanation. Why this joy that Isaiah talks about? Well, we have a demonstration, first of all, of divine power. We have an energy crisis in America. We've had it for some time, shipping billions and billions of dollars to people in the world who don't like us very much. We are wonderfully energetic consumers of energy. In our country, we consume about a third of the world's energy, and thank God for that. Not a lot of energy I would like not to consume, because I'd rather drive in my car than walk, under most circumstances, or ride a horse, because I'm not very good at that. But nonetheless, the need for energy is very important. It's much more important in the spiritual realm, because we don't have the power in ourselves to be the kind of people we ought to be. And even though we boast how good we are or think about how good we are, in fact, we know that we are ultimately slaves to sin. We need an intervention by someone or something more powerful than we are. And here in verse 10, it talks about this explanation for this explosion of joy. Why? Because the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. God has undertaken through his power to do something we couldn't do for ourselves. Because we were weak and powerless, he is sending his son into the world to be born as a baby in Bethlehem, to unleash on earth a kind of power that people have never had. So there's a tremendous delight in the demonstration of divine power. But that isn't enough, because divine power might be shown in causing a deluge. It kills everybody. There's a divine purpose in the world that causes this joy as well. What is it? It's salvation. It says right here, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. Now, what is salvation? Well, it is a threefold sense of salvation. The most long-run form of salvation is that there's coming a day when the entire earth is going to be judged. And the entire earth is going to be put into two camps, heaven and hell. There's going to be an eternal separation. One is perfect bliss and one is perfect horror. One is a place of torments where the smoke never stops rising, and another is the beautiful city four square. There's going to be a great day of accounting coming up. And those who are on God's side are going to join him forever in heaven. That's a key element of salvation. That in the great fiery last day of judgment, there's some who are going to be spared, who are going to be saved, who are going to be a part of God's special family. Secondly, there is a salvation not simply in our sins here on earth, but from our sins. So that living a life in this world, we have a greater desire and a greater power to do God's will. And we have a greater sense of joy in living this life because we live it in God's way. And there's a salvation immediately. That is to say, as soon as we confess Christ as our Savior. So we are saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved in the great last day. So here God himself doing something for man that man can't do for himself with his mighty arm comes into the world, intervenes with Jesus Christ, his son, in order to provide a way of salvation. The other element of this great joy is the divine person who has the power and the purpose, and that's Jesus Christ. As Jesus is to say at the end of his earthly ministry, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world, make disciples of every nation. That is to say, go with my saving gospel throughout the entire world so that all the ends of the earth can see their opportunity to be saved. This servant is indicated in verse 13 here. My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And then it says that he's going to succeed not by being selfish, but by being selfless. His visage is marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men, and he will sprinkle many nations. That is to say, purify or save people from many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So here we got joy breaking forth, breaking news, joy's explosion, a sudden, spontaneous, singing kind of joy. Joy's explanation, it's because God has intervened in human affairs to cause human beings to be saved. What a wonderful, joyous event that is, the incarnation, God becoming flesh. Let's have the final aspect of this then. Joy's experience. Because it's not simply a one-shot joy, but there's a particular joy that is an experience that people can have spiritually who are part of God's family. And this particular passage suggests three things that give rise to that kind of joy. First of all, salvation. Do you know that you can know that you're saved before you die? You come to people and say, well, if you were to die tonight and stand before God, he would ask you, why should I let you in my heaven? What do you say? I don't know. Well, you know, if you were to die tonight, are you sure you'd be saved? Well, I guess I'll have to wait and find out. See if I pass the test. Well, you take a test in school, you wait till you get the exam back. If it's an F, well, I guess you didn't pass. No, the Bible says these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That is to say, the whole purpose of the Bible is to give you a way to check out, to make sure that you're going to heaven rather than hell. If there's one thing that's more important than anything else in life to know, it's whether or not you're saved. Don't leave that to chance. Don't leave that to guesswork. It's too important. Make sure you know. And the Bible says it is possible to know, because you can actually see and experience the salvation of God. People who talk about being born again aren't just whistling Dixie. They're not just being bombastic. They've actually experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ. And so this is an experience. It's personally experienced by people. Secondly, after salvation, there's a great joy in separation. You see, if the world's going to hell in a handbasket, get out of the handbasket. You don't want to go where they're going. You don't want to go where they're going. You're in a little canoe headed over Niagara Falls or Minnehaha Falls in those 2 days a year where there's water going over Minnehaha Falls. Get out of the boat. You don't want to go there. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from this sinful world. Here's what it says. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And so here we find that a real area of joy is coming out from the world and being separate. Devil says, oh, you gotta do that. You look strange. People think you're crazy. Well, look around. Look where the world's going. Look at the results of human sinfulness. Look at the results of addiction and drugs and drunkenness and sensuality and prostitution. And look at all the things that go around this world. And you tell me they've got a joy and a happy end. There's no joy the devil's way. And if you're going to, even if you're saved, you can still be dabbling with the world in a way that ruins your joy. You can't be a saved person. You can't be a believer in Jesus Christ and be swimming in the world's waters and have any sense of joy. You have shame, you have guilt, you have reproofs of life, because you're kicking against the pricks, as it says in the Bible. You're doing something against what God's nature tells you to do in your life. And if you want joy, it starts out with salvation. You can be saved today if you're not saved. You can trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And then there's a purpose for them to be separate from this world, to depart, not to be vile and filthy in your behaviors, and to live above the world. There's a joy in that, in purity, and a joy in living a holy life. What's the third aspect of joy's experience? Security. World loves sense of security. We're all made for a sense of security. We want that sense of peace, that we are protected and nurtured and safe. People want to be safe. After 9/11, there was a real sense of terror in the United States. Where's it going to happen next? And God has blessed us with some years where we haven't had a major attack on our soil. But insecurity is a terrible thing. We think around the world where so many people are living in absolute insecurity. Here's what the Bible says about this breaking news of joy. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. You're not going to be flighty. You're not going to be hasty. You're not going to be a fugitive. You're not going to be running away. Why not? For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your re-reward. That's a great old English word, re-reward. Reward means he goes behind you. So the Lord is in front of you. Wherever you go, the Lord is behind you. Have you ever heard the expression, I've got your back? Well, God's got our back. When you fight, you kind of like to be up against the wall, so at least none of the guy's buddies can creep around behind you. We got someone, Miles here, going to go and fight for our country, and we're going to send him off tonight, and we sure appreciated his time with us. And there are people who are called to the military to fight. And we are called to fight the good fight of faith. But the thing that gives us special joy is that when we're fighting for the Lord, we're not alone. The Lord goes before us, and the Lord goes behind us. The Lord has us surrounded, and nothing can touch us without His permission. And if He allows something to touch us, it's because He has a greater purpose in mind for us. So here we have it, something that the world has very little of. The world has a lot of superficial, frothy happiness and delight, sometimes in carnal things, which leave a bitter aftertaste. Even in their joy, there's heaviness, the Bible says. But here is genuine, pure, undiluted, uncontaminated joy. It breaks forth. Joy's explosion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. What explains it? Well, God has shown His mighty power in sending in to the world His only begotten Son for a purpose, to seek and to save that which is lost, and to do it in an incredibly sacrificial, humble, and effective way by dying on the cross for our sins. And that joy is meant to be experienced by us personally in salvation, by ourselves accepting His work and trusting in Him for salvation, by separation from the world and departing from this world that's headed for hell, and finally by appreciating the security that God gives us, knowing that we are His. If you don't have that security today in Christ, you can have it, and we pray that you will. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for this chapter of Scripture so full of meaning. And Lord, we thank Thee for the joy of Christmas. We pray that we might have that joy as a result of trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.